Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Tezvav. We will begin on Daf Yudalad Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, we had a discussion that Shammai and Hillel presumably were the ones that made the gzeira that hands are tamei stam yadayim maskanias hain. Asked the Gemara, Fakati, how could you say that this was a gzeira of Hillel and Shammai? Asked the Gemara, Shlema Gaza, it was a gzeir that Shlema HaMelech made. Dam Rav Yehuda Mishmul, v'shar shetikin Shlema Ervin and Atilas Yadayim. When Shlema HaMelech instituted Ervin and Atilas Yadayim, Yotza Baskal v'Amra, a Baskal emanated from Shemaim and said, B'ni imchochem libecha, my son, if you are wise, Yismach libi gamoni, I will be satisfied, I will be happy as well. Chacham b'ni v'samach libi v'shivi charfei dover. So you see that this was a gzeira that Shlomo Melech made. Of course, the discussion is what is a baskoil. Some explain that a baskoil is an echo. It's not the direct voice from Hashemayim. It's only a baskoil. Others say that the pshat of a baskoil is that there are many different ways how nevuah could be imparted. And the baskoil is one of those methods. Actually, it's the weakest of all the methods how nevuah could be imparted. So we've quoted previously a vart from the Kotzker. Why is there a particular satisfaction when Shlomo HaMelech said these two gzeiris of Ervin and Atil Shadayim? So the Chiddush Eruim, the Kotzker, say that if we think about these two gzeiros, they're actually the exact opposite of each other. The concept of Ervin, of Erev Chatzeris, as we've discussed previously in our Shurim, is to make that all the people who live in one home be considered as if they're all together. So it brings two people being together. The Tilas Yadayim, as we're learning in our Shurim, is to actually engender separation. Stam Yadayim Maskanias Hain, we want to separate. It takes Chochmah to be able to balance when to be together and when to not, and when to be separate. Another pshat that I saw from the Sefer Mutzel Mi'esh is that Ervin is a mitzvah that the Umas Ha'olam laugh at. They say that just because you'll put a challah in one home, it means that all the homes are connected. On the other hand, Netilas Yadayim is something that they very much understand. It represents cleanliness, sanitization of the hands. What we're supposed to recognize is whether it's a mitzvah, that whether it's a takana that the Umas Ha'olam accept, or whether it's a takana that the Umas Ha'olam don't accept. These are takanas that were made by Shlomo HaMelech, and we should accept them and respect them. Tosfos Masechta Ervin, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, asks why specifically are these two takanas spoken about. We know that Shlomo HaMelech enacted Shnius Larayis, certain relatives that are not also midaraisa as arayas are considered arayas midrabbonim. The Chassam Sofer asks that Shlomo HaMelech wasn't the first one to make Isurim, to make the Rabbonins. We already find that Moshe Rabbeinu had instituted certain gzeiris. We find that Adam Rishon did so. It didn't work so well with the Eitz Hadas. Answers the Chassam Sofer. Making Isurim is not necessarily a cause for rejoicing. Of course, we have to safeguard the Torah. And of course, sometimes we have to add Isurim. But we have to recognize that adding Isurim may create a situation that people will not follow those Isurim. However, the enactment of Erevin and Yetilas Yadayim are a different type of takonis. Shlomo HaMelech did not merely say, don't carry. He said that you can't carry from Rishus HaYochet to a Chatzar. He says you can make an Erev. He didn't say you can't touch Truma with your hands. He says wash your hands. So although Shlomo HaMelech says the Chasam Sofer indeed made Isurim, but they were Isurim that came with a way to work around the Isur. An Isur that comes with a way how to work around it, that is an Isur that is particularly appreciated. Rabbeinu Hai says that until the time of Shlomo HaMelech, Klal Yisrael were busy with Melchama. We know David HaMelech was busy with wars with his enemies. And therefore, Klal Yisrael were potter from the Tilas Yadayim and from Erevin. These are rules that are waived in time of war. But in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, where the Pasuk says, V'yeshev Yehudah v'Yisrael lebetach, ish tachnas gafnoi v'tachas tenesoi, v'dan v'ad be'er sheva, kol yimei Shlomo, v'shalom ho'yolai mikol evarav misoviv, now was a time that they could begin to follow these rules. And that was why there was a particular simcha. Says the Gemara. Also, so now we're back to our question. Was it Shlomo HaMelech who made the Tilas Yadayim, or was it Hillel and Shammai? Says the Gemara, also Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech came and he made it for kachim. That for foods that are kachim, you have to wash your hands before you touch them. Vasa inu, and then came Hillel and Shammai, v'gozru afla truma, that the halacha is for truma. But according to this, the halacha that we know that we have to wash our hands before we eat bread was neither made by Hillel Shammai nor made by Shlomo HaMelech. Why was it made? So it was a takana that was made in later generations. And the reason the takana was enacted in later generations was either because srach truma. As we're learning now, they're concerned that you shouldn't touch truma with hands that are not washed. So in later generations, they enacted that they shouldn't touch truma. They shouldn't even touch chulin, not to come to chas v'shalom touch truma without washed hands. And the other reason is because of nikias. They wanted the person, before he eats food, should make sure that his hands are clean. Gufa, says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Shmoina Asa Gozru, there were 13 places that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel made a gzeira that day. Shmoina Asa Nechlaku, and there were 18 places where they disagreed. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, but doesn't the Brisa say, Hushvu, that they agreed about these gezeiras? Says the Gemara, the history goes as follows. Boy b'yoyim, when they made the gezeira nechalku, they actually disagreed. And lemacher, and later on, hushvu, they came to an agreement. Begins the Gemara, Gufa Amar Avhuna, b'shloisha mekoymes. There are really only 3 places nechalku, Shammai v'Hillel. Shammai v'Hillel disagreed. So the Chavis Yor explains, what does the Gemara mean when it says that they argued in 3 places? So he explains that Hillel and Shammai learned by the same Rabbonim. And because they learned by the same Rabbonim, they had the same Kabbalah, what should be the Halacha. Only these 3 subjects, which we're about to discuss, which are subjects that don't come up that often. For example, the first subject we're about to discuss is from how much dough do you take challah? So these are, typically, everybody makes a dough that's larger than either of the opinion of Shammai and Hillel. So the question of what is the minimal amount of dough you have to take up challah from is a question that doesn't come up that often. And that's why in these three areas that we're going to identify in today's shiur, which don't come up that often, is where we have that's where machlokes of Shammai and Hillel crept in. The Torah HaKadosha says, Reishis arisoseichem chala tarimu truma ketrumas goyren kein tarimu oisai. We have to take off chala from all dough. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a deraisa. In Chutz Loretz, it's a derabonon. There's a machlokes amaroyim in Masech Teksubas Tav Chof Hei Amar Aleph. If Bizman Hazeh in Eretz Yisrael, is the chiyuv chala deraisa or derabonon. But the Torah clearly indicates that the amount of you have to have a risoiseichem. What does a risoiseichem mean? Klal Yisrael was in the midbar, and in the midbar they ate mon. We know the Torah says, "Vamon oim asiris eifahi." And now the question is, how much dough do you have to take off challah? Shammai's opinion is kav, that you have to have a kav of dough. V'hilo oimer mikabayim, from a kabayim. What is the machloikis of Hillel and Shammai based on? The machloikis is that since the pasuk says, everybody agrees that the amount of dough that they had in the midbar, that they made from the mon, was one kav. The machloikis is, says the Ravid, how do we understand the word arisoiseichem? Shammai's opinion is, it means two doughs. That's one way of understanding it. Another way of understanding it is, they ate in the morning and they ate in the evening. They had two meals a day. So it means two kav. Hillel's opinion is, that arisoiseichem means what you had for one meal, the morning meal, and therefore it's only a kav. Rabbeinu Tam has a different way of understanding how they get to their opinion. The Mishnah says, Masech Techala, Perek Beis Mishnah Zayin, that the amount of challah you have to give is, if you're taking challah at your home, it has to be a 24th of the dough. A baker in his bakery has to take off a 48th. The minimum amount that you have to give is a beya of dough. So now we could understand the machlokes. Shammai says most people in the world are not professional bakers. So when we look at establishing the shear, we look at people at home. People at home, we just said, have to give a 24th. So to end up that an egg, that there should be an amount that I'm giving to the koyin, which is a beya, and it's a 24th, it has to be that I have kabayim. Hillel, on the other hand, holds that although most, there are more balabatim in the world than bakers, most people get their bread, they get their challah from bakers. And therefore, the shear is kabayim. If we have a kabayim, the 48th will be a kabeya. So again, Shammai says that the amount of dough from which you need to take off challah is a kav. Hillel says the amount of dough you take off from is a kabayim. But the opinion of the chachamim is like the rezeh, like the rezeh. They don't agree with either opinion. Ella, their opinion is, that the amount is a kav and a half. Says the Gemara, Mishigdilu Amidos, different times in the history of Klal Yisrael, they changed the measures, how much is in a certain measure. Presumably, it was done because of inflation. Amru Chameshes Reviyim Kamach, five lugam of dough, which is really a kav and a quarter, chayiv and bechala. That's the amount of dough you have to take off chala. Reb Yossi Omer, chameshis revoim. If you have five Revoim of Kamach, your potter, Chamesha V'oi, but you have a drop more than that, then Yechai B'chala. The halacha is that when we speak about a mikveh, we know that for a mikveh to be kosher, it has to have a boim so mayim. As we already discussed in the previous year, the water that's used for the mikveh may not be mayim she'uvim. But the halacha is that once you have 40 saw of kosher water, then you could add to the mikveh as much mayim she'uvim as you want. However, if you don't yet have a boim saw of kosher water, then the Gemara begins to discuss how much water would disqualify the water that I have here, that this water can never be used for kosher mikveh, even if I'll add to it to get to 40 saw of kosher water. Vidach, and that's the machlokes we're going to discuss, how much mayim shuvim disqualify a pool of water that if there wasn't first 40 saw of kosher water, this pool of water can never be a kosher mikveh. Hillel Omer, Molei Hin Mayim Shuvim. If you have a hin of Mayim Shuvim, Poslim as a mikveh. That will passel the mikveh. What is the reason for a hin? Because the hin is the largest amount of liquid that we find in the Torah. The Torah says, when it discusses making the Shemen HaMishchob, the Torah says, V'shemen zayis hin. So since this is a din de Rabbanon, says Hillel, we want to find the amount, the largest amount of liquid ever mentioned in the Torah. And the largest amount of liquid mentioned in the Torah is a hin. So that's why that's the number that was chosen by the Rabbanon, would be the amount of liquid that would disqualify a mikveh. Hillel, I'm a molei hin, mayim shuvim, paislam as a mikveh. Now the question is, why did Hillel choose the lashon, the word hin? Because shechayev adam loyma b'lashon rabbi. A person has to say the way he heard it from his rebbe. So since Shmaiv Avtalion, who were the rebbeim of Hillel, used the word hin, and they didn't use what was typical to say Shloisha Kavin, because, as we just explained, says the Ravid, they wanted to say the basis for where they took this halacha, and they took this halacha from the word hin that's mentioned in the Torah, as we just mentioned a moment ago. That's why they used that word, and they used, and Hillel used the same word as his Rebbeim. Another pshat that Rashi says in the name of his Rebbeim, that Chayiv Adam Beloshen Loimer Beloshen Rabbi goes back to the Reb, to all of our Reb, the Rebbe of all of us, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we just said, used the word hin in the Torah, and they wanted to use the same word as Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi has a difficulty with this pshat because we don't always follow the word that Moshe Rabbeinu used. Why all of a sudden here are we using the words that Moshe Rabbeinu used? The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis quotes his father, who heard from his Rebbe, that Shmaiv Avtalion were Gerim, and they had the difficulty to say the word hin. When they said the word hin with a hey, it sounded like in with an aleph. To teach us that even though Hillel, who was able to pronounce a hey, did not pronounce it hin, like he could and should, he pronounced it in like his Rabbeim did, because he wants the Chayiv Adam B'loim B'loshen Rabbi. The Gra says along the lines of the Rambam, because Shammai and Avtalion knew that they couldn't pronounce the word hin, and they said in, so because of that, they also always said molei hin. Why did they say the word molei? Because people wouldn't really understand the word in that they used, because they didn't pronounce it properly, because they said in instead of hin. So they said molei. So when Hillel, who didn't have a problem, and Hillel was able to pronounce him. He didn't say, so he could have just said him. But because his Rabbeim used the word mole, he also used the word mole. Shammai says that a mikveh becomes posel with tishakabin, which are 33 lugin. Why? Where did they get to the number of tishakabin? It goes back to a halacha that we discussed many times in Masech the Brachas. In Masech the Brachas, we said that if a person has to go to the mikveh, but he's unable to go to the mikveh, we could pour on him tishakabin of mayim shuvim. So we see that tishakabin of mayim shuvim has a chshivas in halacha. The chamayim, like the reserve. The chamim recognized that the halacha is not like Hillel, not like Shammai. But they remembered that the halacha doesn't follow either of these opinions. But they didn't know what should be the proper opinion. At Shabo Shnei Gadayim, until two wavers came, that lived in Shara Ashbar and Shalayim. And as Rashi explains, there was no less important position than weavers. The Gemara Masechta Gedushin that Pei Beis Amud Aleph teaches us that a weaver cannot be a king, cannot be a Kohen Gadol. And they lived in one of the worst neighborhoods in Yerushalayim, the Shar Ashbois. That's where the garbage was collected. But if they say something that's correct, we follow what they say no matter who they are. And they were able to tell us the name of Shmai Vavtalion. Chacham accepted what they said. Where did they get to the number Shloshim Lugim? Because when you speak about Nichsei Kabonis, the smallest amount that you could ever use for Nesachim, for Kabonis, the Torah says a Revius Hahin, which is Shloshim Lugim. So therefore, Revius Hahin Yayin is the number that they chose. Tosfos in Bava Basra says that Shloshim Lugim is the amount that you could use for washing oneself. And that's why they picked it, that's why the number is Shloshim Lugim. And that was the way the halacha was established. Because one pshat is that when they said this, even Shammai and Hillel remembered that that's what was said by the Rebbeim Shmai Vavtalia. And therefore, they said, yes, what they're saying is correct. Another pshat is we had Gardayim. There were two of them. So there were more people saying this opinion than anybody else. And therefore, we accepted their opinion because they are the majority. We know that the halacha is that a woman who has a discharge becomes a nida. The next gemara we're going to learn is a gemara that we discussed extensively when we learned Masechta Nida. In those days, if a woman had a discharge and she became a nida, it wasn't only an issue if she could have relations with her husband. It was also an issue that whatever she touched became tamei. So the machlokes that we have is, if a woman had a discharge, from when do I need to be concerned that she's already tamei? Vidach Shammai Omer, kol anoshim, if a woman has a discharge, dayin shatan, we're only concerned that she saw dam from this moment. And we don't have to be concerned that she saw dam earlier. The reason is, since it's a suffix, therefore, we don't have to be machmer. We'll explain this more in a moment. Hillel Omer, bibkidel makida, afilo yom harbe. We could only be sure that she didn't see dam from the last time she checked herself. Chazal, in those times, required that a woman check herself twice a day to make sure that she's tar. The Chum don't agree with Hillel, who's very machmer, because let's say she didn't check herself for a while. It'll turn out that everything she touched and everything she came in contact with from then would be tamei. They also felt that Shammai was being overly lenient. Ella, meis leis, memarai de bekidah bekidah, bekidah bekidah memat meis leis. We take which is the lower of 24, either 24 hours. That means the maximum amount of time we go retroactive is 24 hours. So if she didn't check herself within the last 24 hours, we say everything she touched for the last 24 hours is tamei. If she checked herself within the last 24 hours, it only begins from that time. As I said, she has a cheskes tara. We are being machmer because of taharis. And now the Gemara in Masechta Nida, the beginning of Masechta Nida, gives a number of reasons for the machlokes. Shammai holds she has a cheskes tara. And therefore, the cheskes tara tells us that she is tahor. Hillel, on the other hand, holds, since a woman is going to see dam, that's part of the way the body of a woman works, we have to be machmer. Another way we explain is that a woman typically feels when she sees dam. So Shammai says the fact that she didn't feel that she's having dam is a ride that there was no dam earlier. Hillel, on the other hand, holds that maybe she felt it, but she thought it was meiraglayim, she thought it was urine, and that's how she made the mistake. Shammai is of the opinion that the dam normally, if it comes out completely from the body. Hillel, on the other hand, holds, sometimes the dam leaves the uterus, but it stays in the body. But the aloch is, as soon as the dam leaves the uterus, the dam is considered dam tamei. Hillel held that we have to be machmer, because it's an enactment that we have to do to make sure the women keep Hilchas Nida properly. Shammai, on the other hand, held that if we're going to make couples, women, so concerned that they may be tamei when they're not tamei, they may refrain from having relations even when they're allowed to have relations. And we know how important it is to have pure rivia, how important it is to have Jewish children, and therefore Shammai was more lenient. Ask the Gemara, the Suleka, are there no other places where Shammai and Hillel disagreed? V'ikka, there certainly is. The Gemara Masechta Chagiga discusses when somebody brings a carbon, we know he has to do smicha on the carbon. And the Gemara there discusses a carbon that's brought on Yontif. And of course, we're only talking about kabonis that you're allowed to bring on Yontif. Do you do smicha on that carbon or not? Because the halacha is that you're not allowed to be mishtamish, you're not allowed to use an animal on yontif. Hillel oimer lismoich. Hillel says you're allowed to do smicha on yontif. V'shamai mishloi lismoich. And Shammai says that you can't do smicha on yontif. The pasha pshat in the machloikis is that Hillel says if you're allowed to bring the carbon in yontif, included in the heter of bringing the carbon in yontif is that you're allowed to do smicha on it. Shammai says one has nothing to do with the other. Another way of explaining the machloikis between Shammai and Hillel, says the Gemara Masechta Beya, is does the smicha have to be done right before that krova? Hillel holds that the smicha should be done right before that krova. So if I'm being makir of the carbon on yontif, I have to do the smicha on yontif. Whereas Shammai says the smicha doesn't have to be takev l'smicha shchita smicha. You don't have to do the smicha right before the shchita, and you can do it from before yontif. Another way of explaining, do these kabbanis absolutely have to have smicha? Shammai holds that they don't have to absolutely have smicha, and therefore we can't be doicha yontif on behalf of smicha. Hillel disagrees. So, but as far as our Gemara is concerned, so here we have another area where Shammai and Hillel disagree. Answers the Gemara, Ki kamar Rav Huna. When did Rav Huna say that Shammai and Hillel only argued in these three places? Hecha deleka plukta derav sabadayu, where the Rebbeim didn't also argue in the subject. However, we already find there in the Gemara in Masechta Chagiga that this machloikis went back to previous generations, that this was machloikis between Yosi ben Yehezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, and therefore this is not in that class of machloikis. Ask the Gemara Ve'ik, but there's another place where we argue. We discussed recently that the halacha is that if somebody that for food to be able to be susceptible for tumah, it has to be mukshal kabel tumah. Mukshal kabel tumah means, as we discussed, that it has to be made wet. And when we discuss that halacha, not a question is, if somebody's bringing grapes to squeeze, so as you bring the grapes to squeeze, it's very likely that there's juice that's going to come out. Hillel's opinion is, you don't want that juice. And as when we learned this Gemara, we said, the Torah says the word yitain, yutan, and we said it has to be liquid that you want. You don't want this juice to come out. And since you don't want this juice to come out, Hillel says that's therefore the grapes are not considered mukshul kabel tumah. Shammai says sometimes you're going to squeeze the grapes in a basket that's sealed where the juice will remain, and you do want that juice. And because of that, grapes that are transported and the juice comes out is considered mukshul kabel tumah. So says the Gemara Ve'ikka. So we have that machloikus of aboitzel gas. If somebody's cutting off grapes to take it to be squeezed, Shammai Omer Hukshur, the juice that comes out is machsh the grapes to be makabel tumah. For Hillel Omer Loi Hukshur. So we have this machloikus. Answers the Gemara, ba minei dehi. That machloikus cannot be included in that group. The hasam kashosakle Hillel Shammai. At the end, Hillel agreed with Shammai. And since Hillel ultimately agreed with Shammai, that can't be considered a machloikus. And as I saw the Shchavis Yor explains, what is the issue of a machloikus? The issue of a machloikus is that there is no hachra, there is no final decision, because we have here the two conflicting opinions. But when there is no conflicting opinion, when the halacha is clear because everybody agrees to the same opinion, that isn't considered a machloikus. So we learned in a braisa previously, Yosi ben Yehezer is trade of Yosi ben Yochanan Ishlayim, Gozru Tumal Eretz Amim. They said that the Eretz Amim in Chutz Loretz are Tomei. The Rambam says the reason is because the Akum would not be careful in burying the dead strictly in a cemetery. They would bury them anywhere. So we have to be concerned that any area in Chutz Loretz has dead people buried there. Another pshat that the Meiri suggests is because sometimes the wives of the Akum have become pregnant to children who weren't from their husband, and then they would just bury their children anywhere. And therefore, again, you have to be concerned that they're kvarim all over. So that's why they were gozru tumah l'aretz amim. They also, as we will discuss in tomorrow's shir, made a gzeira akleis chuchis on glassware it should be mekabel tumah. But ask the Gemara, was it Yosi ben Yehezer and Yosi ben Yochanan who made the gzeira of tumah on the aretz amim? For Rabbanim d'shmonim shama, Rabbanim that were there 80 years before the Churban, they were the ones that made that gzeira. Domer of Kahana, Shcholer of Yosi, Rishmob Rav Yosi. When Rishmob Rav Yosi got ill, Shocholoi, the Chum sent him a message, and they said, Rebbe, Emor lanu shnayim v'shlosh dvorim, shamartu mishum avicha. Could you repeat some of the halachas that you heard from your father, Rav Yosi? Shocholhem. So he sent them back. Hacham Abba. This is what I heard from my father. Mei v'shmanu shana, ashlechar v'bayis. 180 years before the Bayis Hamikdash was destroyed, Pashta Malchus Harish al Yisrael, the Roman Empire began to take control over Klal Yisrael. Shmanim Shanim Achlechar Vabayis, 80 years before the Churban HaBayis, Gazru Tumah La'aretz Amim, they said that these foreign countries should be Tameh, V'akliz Chuchas. Abom Shanat Shleichar V'Bayis, 40 years before the Churban, Gazru Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGazus, which was on the base of Migdash compound, V'yashalai B'chanuyos, and they went to a different place in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, L'may Hilchasa, why do we need to know where the Sanhedrin was or wasn't? Amar Yitzhak Avdimi, Loimer, Shleidonu Dine Knossos, that they no longer ruled on Dine Knossos. We know that when there's a financial issue to discuss, there are two types of financial Dine Torah. There's a financial Dine Torah, where one person owes another person money. Of course, that type of Dine Torah remains forever. But there are certain cases where the Torah sets a knas, a set fine. The halach is somebody is ma'anis a girl, you have to pay 50 kesef. If there's a geneva, you have to pay kefil. These are fines. So the Gemara says that from the time that the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGazus, they no longer paskin dine knossos. Ask the Gemara, dine knossos al kedaitach? Why should they stop paskin dine knossos? Because they're no longer in the base of Migdash. Rather, says the Gemara, shloi donu dine nefashos. The halacha is that you can't paskin dine nefashos only if the Sanhedrin is in its proper place in the Lishkas HaGazus. And I saw that the Sefer Imrus Hashem explains, the pasuk says, Me'im mizbechi tekechenu lomus. So he explains, Me'im mizbechi, when the Sanhedrin is near the Mizbeach, when the Sanhedrin is by the Lishkas HaGazus, then tekechenu lomus, could a person be taken to Misa. But if the Sanhedrin is not sitting by the Lishkas HaGazus, people aren't taken to Misa. But we see from here that the Gzeir of Tuman, Eretz Amim, was already made 80 years before the Churban HaBayis, not by Yosef ben Yehoshua and Yosef ben Yochanan. V'chei Taiman, if you're going to want to answer that question, b'shmayin shana nami inohava, that Yosef ben Yehoshua and Yosef ben Yochanan were there at that time of 80 years before the Churban, and they were the ones that made the Gzeira. Ask the Gemara, v'tayin, but there's a brice that says, Hillel, Rav Shimon, Hillel and Shimon, Gamliel, v'Shimon, Nagu Nisiyosim v'Fnei Abayis. They were Nisim as long the Beis HaMikdash was standing, Mei Yishana, in the 100 years before the Churban HaBayis. V'ilu Yosef ben Yehoshua is Tzreda, v'Yosef ben Yochanan have Kadmi Tuva. They were much before those 100 years. They were many generations before Hillel. So they couldn't have been there in the 80 years before the Churban. Says the Gemara, what happened was as follows. Ela os inhu, what happened was, there was a history to what happened here. Os inhu, the two Rabbi Yossis came, Gozo Agusha Lisroif, they made a gzera that if a clod of earth from the Eretz Amim came in contact with Truma Lisroif, the Truma should be burned. Vavira, but they did not make any gzera regarding the airspace of the Eretz Ha'amim. Came Vos Rabbanim the Shemayin Shana, but then the Rabbanim who came later, the Rabbanim who came 80 years before the Churban, Gozra Avir Litlas. They made a gzera that if Truma comes into the airspace of Eretz Ha'amim, it should not be burnt, more may it be eaten. Says the Gemara, Lememra, the Chad Gzera Sahava Lisraif, does that mean there was only one gzeira regarding burning? Right away, they made a gzeira that truma that comes in contact with the earth of Eretz Ha'amim should be burnt. Ask the Gemara, is that the history? Vam ilfa yudayim. When we speak about the hands, what we were discussing in the previous year, that hands that aren't washed, if they touch truma, make the truma inedible. There, Tchilos Gzeres L'Sreifa. There, as soon as the Gzeira was enacted, it was enacted that if you touch it, you have to burn that Truma. Yadayim, who did Tchilos Gzeres L'Sreifa. That's only regarding the hands. hamid achrina, but all the other gzeiros weren't made immediately, that if you touch it on a place where Chazal made a gzeir that it's tameh, it should be burnt. Ella isu inu, so the history goes as follows. Us inu goza agusha litlois, they said that if truma comes in contact with the earth of Eretz Amim, it should be not burnt and not eaten. Vavira, and regarding the airspace of Eretz Amim, they said v'leiklum, they made no gzera. Vos rabbanim the Shmoneh Shonah, then the rabbanim who lived 80 years before the Churban Abayis, gozru, they made agusha lisroif, that the earth of Eretz Amim that comes in contact with truma must be burnt. Vavira, they said litlois should be suspended. Ask the Gemara, Vakati, it doesn't make, still we have a question. Busha Gozer, because it was only when the Sanhedrin was taken to Usha, which was after the Churban Habayis, was the decree of Eretz Amim being Metama Truma. How do we know that? Because the Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Taharis, Al Shisha Shveikas Sarfen as a Truma, on the count of six situations of a doubt, do we burn, if truma came in contact, if there's a question on the status of the truma, in these six situations, do we burn the truma? A Suffolk basic press, if truma came into a place which is a basic press, where there's a question if there's a grave in that area, while Suffolk offer habam Eretz Amim, or if there's a question of earth that came from Eretz Amim, a Suffolk by the Amoritz, if truma came in contact with the clothing of an Amoritz, we know that Chazal made a gzeira that the clothing of Amoritz should be tameh. V'asofik kelim hanimtzom. If you have a sofik on a keli, on a vessel, and you don't know if the vessel is tameh or tahor, and the truma came in contact with that vessel, a sofik haroikim. We discussed in our previous year that any liquid that emanates from a zov is tamei. And here, truma came in contact with the roik of an individual, but we don't know if that roik came from a zov, or we don't know if it came from a person who's not a zov. Vasofik may reglai adam. We have a sofik if this may reglaim from an animal or from a human being. And even if they're from a human being, we don't know if it came from a human being who's tahor, and therefore the meir glaim of such tahor, or the meir glaim of a person who's tamei. And even in a situation shekineged meir glaim behema, that we find the urine next to an animal, so that should say that presumably the meir glaim came from an animal. We still have to be concerned that maybe this meir glaim came from a zov. And therefore, we have to be machma. Avadai, in all avadai magen, in all of these situations, if truma certainly came in contact with these, shud sofik tumason, in all of these situations, when they certainly came in contact with truma, shud sofik tumason, so we now have a sofik if the truma is tamei or not, the loch is sarfen as a truma. We have to burn the truma. Rabbi Yosef Omer, af al sofik magen b'rishus hayochid. You have to burn truma even when the sofik came up in rishus hayochid. We know the halach is sofik tamer b'rishus harabim is tahar. Sofik tamer b'rishus harabim is tahar. The basis for this halacha is soita. If a woman had kini v'stira, so if it happened in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, she's also to her husband. If it happened in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, she's mutter to her husband. So we see from here, Safak Tamer Rosh Hashanah Yochid is Tomei, Safak Tamer Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is Tahar. Vama Ula, and Ula, in commenting on this Mishnah, says, Eilu Shisha Sveikas, the case, these six situations, Busha Askina. But what do we see here? That Eretz Amim was made in Usha, not 80 years before the Churban, or not by the two Rabbi Yossis. Says the Gemara, the history goes as follows. Alas inu, the two Reb Yossis made exer goza gusha litlois, that if truma comes in contact with earth from chutz laretz, it's a suffix. Vavir, if it came in touch with the ear space of chutz laretz, v'loy klum. Vos rabbanu shvan ishana, the rabbanim of 80 years before the churban, gozer idi v'idi litlois. Both the ear space or the land of eretz ha'amim is a suffix. It's a question. Vasa Usha, and then Usha came, Gosha Agusha Lisraif, that if the Truma came in contact with the earth of Eretz Amim, it should be burnt. But Avira Kedekai Kai, it was remains a Suffolk.